Frederick, welcome to Talk Satellite here at World Satellite Business Week here in Paris.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here, Kevin. Great to talk to you. It's been a few years that I've been coming. This time we're here with Unio as a CTO. Wonderful to meet partners, clients, and other teammates, you know, ex-colleagues and friends from the industry. So I'm looking forward.
Can you provide background on Unio as a company?
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So Unio was formed in July of 22 by four primary shareholders, ISAR Aerospace, a Munich-based new space rocket manufacturer, Mynaric, OISL, optical inter-satellite links, laser heads, Reflex Aerospace, Berlin-based, also developing a production site in Munich, platform provider, and SES, I think probably the world's number one satellite operator. Unio, we're based in Munich, kind of in the heart of Munich. We're a startup. We've got about 17 folks right now, roughly half and half salaried and external consultants or contractors. I've got most of that other half participate to the CTO office, both in on the European continent as well as North America. I've got a colleague in the States, West Coast. We've got one of our Constellation architects, RF engineers, in Canada, and then a Constellation architect up in Berlin, and a couple of SES support folks. So really fantastic to have that SES support.
Software-defined communication system. Please, can you give a rundown on that technology you utilize?
Perhaps the market has just seen what China came out with basically a 5G over RF, non-interoperable with other systems, to satellite to vehicle. That is essentially what we're doing. We're architecting an interoperable European-based Ka band 5G over RF essentially system to the mobility assets. Today, currently, there really is no system that has that seamless connectivity between the resource, the Ka band frequency resource protocols, and the terrestrial protocols. We are actively engaged with on the IC side, on the network side, are developing this network, this kind of seamless network switch, linking the satellite to terrestrial networks. So that network engineering piece of the puzzle is a big focus of ours. Combining with that, it's not a direct-to-device, as in maybe a couple other companies are doing, to a handheld device, but really a direct-to-the vehicle. So seamless integrated antenna. Today we have shark fins on our cars, most of us. This is one of the, I would say, kind of the next generation of this, implementing literally a Ka user terminal in a vehicle, invisible to the outside world, but enabling that end-to-end seamless connectivity, secure, always-on global coverage. Number of satellites, right now we're looking at different altitudes, actually. Having one of our shareholders being SES, as we all know, location, location, location. If you have a filing that puts you on the map, you do not have a filing or have access to those frequencies, those resources, you essentially don't exist. We have this fantastic shareholder in SES that I'm able to really architect, utilizing or exercising their resources, their frequency, their spectrum. And so as such, it's literally a multi-orbit, spectrum-rich architecture from which I can kind of take a clean sheet of paper and craft that architecture with our, you know, best-in-class partners. And also, as such, it is today, we haven't converged on what altitude, for example. You might know if we're at 600 or 700 kilometers versus, say, 1,200 kilometers, there's probably a factor 4, roughly, just kind of rough rule of thumb, that we would need at the 700 kilometers. If we needed, say, 250 at 1,250 kilometers, we probably need around 1,000 at 700 kilometers. Those figures are still, obviously, being worked today. The trade space is going to be a primary focus over the coming months, primarily because if you look at those two altitudes, those two architectures, you have some relatively serious radiation effect constraints as you go up in altitude. However, you've got greater coverage, terrestrial coverage, fewer satellites. If you come down in altitude, you've got obviously more satellite requirements because you're lower. Those beams are smaller diameter on the surface of the Earth, but you need more, so the CapEx question comes in front and center. So we're really focusing on cost-effective approach to this architecture, starting from the customer user requirements and working back from that.
Mobility, huge market for satellite. Which segments are you targeting as you roll out your plans?
Really targeting automotive logistics, so automotive buses, logistics and trucks and rail primarily. Kind of vision, if you will, of having the autonomous vehicle market really in mind. Again, no pun intended, right? The vision down the road that we're seeking to future-proofing the architecture. We're far from that level 5 autonomy today, but we really need to be thinking about those architectures today such that when the time comes, we are ready, we have ramped up, we've anticipated the needs. Those needs come in various flavors. The 5GA, the 5G Automotive Association, has defined a broad set of use cases that they're looking at, whether it's alerts or over-the-air updates or just a wide variety of applications, use cases that they need to meet, but both from security and safety and response and reliability, connectivity, you name it. I'd say the largest subset or the largest set of use cases. And then beyond that, obviously you have, as I mentioned, these 5GA use cases require relatively low data rates, but we're architecting it for probably anywhere up to 50 or 100 megabit per second downlinks to the vehicles, which then will obviously feed into that vehicle, more than likely have a 5G type modem router built into the antenna itself that can again connect the side link to other vehicles on the road as well as to smart city infrastructures.
Stationary applications.
We're actually still in the process of defining how best to architect this, because the architectures for an enterprise-grade, relatively high data throughput, point-to-point architecture network is slightly different beast to architect for than a lower data rate, bandwidth application. Were we to go in that direction and still focus on that and build that into the platforms, we would be looking at, again, B2B, B2G, simple example, offshore oil rigs to headquarters in Amsterdam or British Petroleum, or whether it's a potential B2G application, consulates or embassies back to the ministry, for example, in the home country, pharmaceutical companies needing to get their sets of data back to headquarters, a lot of them in Basel or maybe Chicago or other places. Those are, I would say, the primary fixed data asset classes that we'd be looking at.
Iris Squared, any thoughts on technology to be implemented in the system and thoughts on Unio participating?
Unio is actively engaged in Iris Squared on a couple of different levels. So we're anticipating onboarding a hosted payload. I have a couple of proposals actually in the hopper to the consortium. We will soon be refining that topic with the consortium. Our ambitions are such that we are planning to launch a certain number of service-ready satellites in probably 26-27 timeframe. Prior to that, there may be some orbital assets from Iris Squared, whereby we could lease maybe some capacity before we pivot to our LEO constellation. So there are a couple of areas there that we're actively engaged with. Really looking forward to continue that conversation.
Please give us more detail on future roadmap.
Future roadmap. So I alluded to the kind of early commercial services, but primarily, so we're what, September 23, we are anticipating an onboarded opportunity, I would say next year, probably Q4 timeframe, 24, but we'll have our first twin satellite proof of concept mission in 2025. Again, more likely Q4 of 25. Whereby we're seeking to prove out essentially 80% or so of the fundamental building blocks to the service-ready constellation deployment a year or two after that. What do I mean by that is that when you're targeting the mobility assets that we are, we don't need to demonstrate that full up on a proof-of-concept demo. We might just have a horn antenna with an onboard processor, maybe a couple of beams, but we validate the concept, we validate the waveforms, validate that yea verily we can actually accomplish what it is we're targeting, such that we can scale up to a commercial scale, so to speak, the following, probably over the next couple of years, get initial services with about 90 or so satellites on orbit, global services not always on, not obviously with 90 satellites. You can do a good amount in some kind of maybe mid-latitude ranges, obviously not everywhere, but that will just be phased in as the market pull begins to develop. Today, that market pull isn't necessarily there. The automotive OEMs do not have a Ka band phased array antenna in the roof. That will take a few years to develop, and we just want to be there kind of anticipating that and rolling out, scaling up as that market pull is available so that the revenue, the associated revenues can be generated, and we just keep self-financing ourselves. That's the target, yeah.
Frederick, thank you very much. We wish you every success.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. You're very welcome.